laughed and kissed his mom and said, "You're Billy Joe's a man. I can shoot as quick and straight as anybody can. But I wouldn't shoot without a cause. I'd gun nobody down." But she cried again as he rolled away. "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town."
All right, welcome back to the Up North Podcast. So last week we talked with a Green Bay community police officer about gun safety because there was a mass shooting in Buffalo. And of course, we all know that there was a school shooting yesterday in Texas. So incredibly, profoundly, unbelievably sad. So we have to revisit this topic again. We just can't avoid it. So luckily, we have an incredibly well-experienced community leader with my dear friend, Ed Dorf, who was the executive director for the Wisconsin School Safety Coordinator for 5 years. He was a national trainer and assessor for the ALICE Training Institute, which is an organization that helps schools and churches deal with active shooter situations. He is board certified as a physical security professional. He conducted school safety training and site audits across the country. And most recently, he was just asked to teach the new school safety assessors for the Wisconsin DOJ Office of School Safety. Ed, thank you so much for being here for such a somber occasion, but such an important topic.
Well, thanks, Kristen. Thank you.
All right. So, Ed, I'm going to ask you a question in a second, but I kind of want to, you know, get, you know, go at 100 you know, feet above, you know, in the sky here. We're back again after another mass shooting. The country is, it's explosive anger and rage again, because it shouldn't, we're the only country that this happens to in the world. I wrote a big thing today. Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, kind of lost his temper. He was weeping. His father was killed in a gun homicide in Beirut. He said it best. There's 50 Republican senators that would rather hold on to power than protect innocent children, and they will do nothing about our gun problem in our country. And there are two Democratic senators who will not vote to end the filibuster so we can pass simple gun legislation, like sensible gun legislation, and we can't do it with just a simple majority. We have to have a crazy 60 vote majority, which is never gonna happen. So that's where we are, and it's just I fear that if we don't do something as a country, if we keep on not doing something every time this happens, we will be further split apart, party against party, and people will lose faith in government altogether in America. And when people lose faith in government, they lose faith in our laws, and it might, there will be more violence, and it might push us even further to what I hate to even say, because it sounds so crazy, but it might push us further to some sort of a civil war in America. And it scares the heck out of me to even say that. But we didn't invite you today to talk about civil war or talk about gun laws, because you can't do anything about it. We invited you on to talk about how we protect Wisconsin school children, because our politicians aren't doing it for us, but we've hired folks like you to come up with plans to protect our kids. So welcome, Ed, and we'd like to just talk to us about your reactions of yesterday and what you've been doing to try to keep it from happening in Wisconsin.
I think my reaction was probably similar to probably 98% of the people in this country, parents and grandparents. Just a truly visceral reaction, nearly sick to my stomach. My wife Barbara and I were watching this all day yesterday, and we have grandkids the ages of the little ones that were killed down in Texas. One of the things you said, you talk about the politics of it, and God Almighty, you would hope that these issues would transcend politics. I don't know what the legislation is that they're looking at right now or have been looking at, But everything that I've seen so far, you know, looks to me to be pretty much common sense kinds of things that really shouldn't be an issue. But, you know, that's my opinion, and my opinion in a buck will get you a cup of coffee. So, you know, what are we doing here on the business end of things? You know, shortly after I retired, I was a school principal, and in 2006 at my high school, we had a near miss with what was termed a Columbine-like threat, and it was pretty scary at the time. When I retired in 2013, I had the opportunity to go to work for the ALICE Training Institute. And ALICE is it's basically a response. It's a response to an active shooter situation, which is only one part of school security. It's a pretty important part, but only one part. And I want to talk about what some of those other parts are. But if I can just talk about ALICE for a moment, as I said, it's a response initiative, and it's an acronym that is not, it's not the sequence of things. It's just an acronym for things that we teach people to be aware of and to be, to practice in terms of not just if there's a school shooting, but to practice at all times. And if you bear with me for a second, ALICE is, like I said, it's an acronym. It stands for alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and evacuate. And when I would teach ALICE, I would tell the people that I was working with that there are elements of ALICE that I hope to God they would never, ever have to practice. I would hope they would never have to evacuate because of an active shooter. I would hope they would never have to counter because of an active shooter and they weren't able to evacuate. But other parts of it are things that we want people to be aware of all the time. The alert, sounding the alert, being aware of your surroundings, situational awareness. These are things that we need to adopt and need to keep close at hand. The L is for lockdown. And for many years, the only response to an active shooter threat was lockdown, but it was really inadequate because locked doors can be defeated. And what we found was that many of our schools didn't even think to lock their doors, let alone their classroom doors, not their exterior doors. So when we would teach ALICE, we would teach that, okay, locks are great, but locks can be defeated. So you've got to go one step further, do a lockdown on steroids, learn how to barricade your door. And we would actually practice that in classrooms and office spaces and in churches and in company buildings where we would work, in hospitals, show people how easy it is to use objects that are right there in their environment to barricade their door. The thought being, and it has been shown in some active shooting situations, that if the active shooter finds a door that he can't easily access, he's going to move on. The I in ALICE stands for inform, just the concept of spreading information. We used to do a little, when we would do role play scenarios, we would always talk about who's gonna call 911. And even though it was a role play scenario, we'd say, we wanna make sure that somebody calls 911 when they are actually practices calling 911, simulates it. And invariably, when the noise started and the furniture started getting moved and the walls were being banged on, nobody would call 911, even having just been reminded of that. So it's something we pound in people's heads. You know, you've got to inform people around you, inform however you inform people within your building, if it's a PA system, phone system, cell phones, whatever it is, to get the word out. Years ago, the practice was, and this was just insane. I think back 30 years ago when we were just on the outset of doing some of the school security things, we had code words. And in the district where I worked, the code was Mr. Locker is in the building. And that was supposed to alert you that there was an active shooter. And I said to the people who brought that up, I said, why in the world are you using code words? You tell people what's going on. I mean, if there's a fire in the building, you pull the fire alarm. You don't say Mr. Flame is in the building. For God's sakes, you know, give them the information. Fortunately, we've gotten beyond that. And even at the federal level, people say use plain language. And what you'll find when you talk to a lot of police officers, they've abandoned the 10 codes. A lot of plain language or plain language is pretty much the standard. The C in ALICE is probably the most misunderstood. It stands for counter. And some folks got the idea that when we were doing active shooter training in schools, we were teaching kids that they should have a can of Campbell's soup or a can of peas in their desk to throw at a shooter. No, we don't. We didn't do that. What we said was, can you do things to distract the shooter? And we would use scientific evidence about the accuracy of shooting and why these active shooters were so deadly. In fact, if you look at some of the statistics, you'll see that in an active situation, police officers who are trained miss 60 to 80% of the shots that they take. And these are trained individuals. Active shooters who are, well, like this latest one, they're not trained professionals, but they have an extremely high hit rate and kill rate. And why is that? It's because they were shooting sitting ducks. And so, you know, we talk about counter, about running around, about not being an easy target. And then the last letter E is evacuate. And that's really your best bet. If you can get away from trouble, get away from trouble. And, you know, we talk about running, fight, flight, freeze, those kinds of things. And we talk about how with training and with practice, you can overcome some of those fears that you have. Now, as I said, ALICE itself is a response. It's an active shooter response model. And there are others, and there are good ones. You know, this happens to be the one that I worked for 6 years and taught all over the country. But even more important than the response is the prevention. And I'll shift gears a little bit to talk about my time as the executive director for the Wisconsin School Safety Coordinators Association. That's an organization that's been around since 1968. And for most of their history, they were more concerned with safety aspects, things like you would see in OSHA reports, slips, trips, and falls in closed spaces, making sure your fire extinguishers are filled properly.
Oh, my lighting. God, Ed, that sounds quaint. It sounds like a time of 100 years ago when that was our biggest worry.
That changed right after Sandy Hook. It took a remarkable switch change. Here in Wisconsin, there was a DPI and the Department of Justice together held a conference in Racine at the Wingspread Conference Center, and they called together all kinds of organizations, ours not the least of which, and said, what can we do to make things better? I mean, how do we educate people, and how do we get this word out? Simultaneous to that, my wife, who was the executive director at the district we worked at, went to ALICE training for the first time and started you started a crusade to bring ALICE into Wisconsin. Okay. What WISCA did was said, all right, that's well and good, but what about the schools themselves in terms of their readiness? And so we opened up a whole new line of thinking around security. And to that end, what WISCA did was offer security analysis, security assessments to school districts. And boy, we've done hundreds of them since 2013 when we started them.
Good. And I appreciate that, Ed, because, I mean, information is key. And I don't want to get too far off the school shooting end of it, but I wanted to relay, I really wanted to listen intently to what you were saying about this, because I almost found myself in a similar situation a couple of weekends ago with two of my grandsons. We're in Texas, and we're at one of those large indoor playground type facilities where they have kid birthday parties and everything else. And I mean, there had to be, you know, I don't know how many, 200, 300 kids in there and their families, and it's loud and the air conditioning is going, and the power went out. The lights went out. Everything got quiet for a split second. And then all the kids, of course, started screaming. And my wife and I looked at each other and, of course, immediately thought the worst. And she took off in one direction to find one kid. I took off in the other direction to find the other. We both got about 30 feet and then realized there was nobody at the table. If either one of the kids had come back to go and look for us, we would have missed them entirely. So it's not just the schools. It's parents, it's grandparents who need to hear more about this. Are you doing these kinds of things? And we'll definitely hammer on the prevention arm later on, but while we've got somebody trained in safety and security, are these kinds of tools and things available to the general public, or is it only those folks that actually think about it can try to Google it?
Well, it's been pretty much available through the schools. I mean, that's what we've been doing the training. Schools, police departments, hospitals, churches, those sorts of things. So the word gets out there. And I know we're just about out of time here, but I do want to say that as we look at those site assessments, and if you want to see what they look like, you can go to our WSSCA website, wssca.org, WSSCA.org. But we look at the most important thing we look at is human action. And within human action, the most important thing we found as far as prevention is a good school climate, knowing who the kids are. Then we look at the plans that they have, and you know, probably secondary to that in terms of more structural kinds of things is the need for locking the doors. And I know that it's a pain in the neck for people to go to a school and have to go through a double set of doors, but that really is, you know, one of our first line of defense.
It does make, yep, it does make all the difference.
I really wanted to say thank you so much for being here. And I have one quick question for you. Mm-hmm. You spend so much time working on prevention and making sure people are safe. What can our legislators do to do their part?
I think they need to.
I'm going to cut you both off because we're going to get cut off in 10 seconds.
I love Johnny Cash. So. They need to listen to the families and take action and stop listening to the lobbyists.
That's exactly it. Perfect. Listen to the families, not the lobbyists. When we come back, thank you, Ed, the Republican who put country before party when it came to the 2020 election. We'll be back. You're up north.
But the stranger drew his gun and fired.